29. Last time we were in 1 Samuel, we looked at chapter 28, and we saw Saul's desperation as he came to the witch of Endor. He was trying to get contact with the prophet Samuel. And remember, he was fearful of the large army that was assembling against Israel, and so out of desperation, he tries to contact Samuel after he'd already died. And we looked at that strange situation, and we were reminded of Saul's disobedience in contacting this woman with the familiar spirit, as she's called. And we saw the warning Scripture gives about the occult and really the hopelessness and the lack of help that there is even by those who do become involved, like Saul did here. And whether or not Samuel was actually contacted, we saw the message that he was given was not really one that helped him that much. And at the end of that chapter, he was even more hopeless than he had been in the first place. He didn't get any help for himself. And now, in chapter 29, scene and the focus changes back to David. And we remember that David has been anointed king. For many years, he'd been on the run from Saul. And most recently, remember what David had done. He was at a low point, and he saw that he said in his heart that he's going to die one day. In chapter 27, David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." And so that's where David has been. He went ahead and went to the Philistines for protection. And the Philistines gave him a city to live in, Ziklag. And we saw how that decision put him in conflict with himself. And when the Philistines decided they were going to attack Israel. And now he's living with the Philistines and they are attacking Israel. And so that's where we come back to in 1 Samuel 29. We see the consequences of that decision, but we see how the Lord delivers David. And we're going to see several different ways how God helps David and how God is still able to help us in these same ways. So let's look at 1 Samuel 29. And I'm going to read here. Actually, I'm going to pick up here in verses 4 to 7. Remember, David's living with the Philistines. Philistines are ready to go to war against Israel. And here's what some of the Philistines say. Look at 1 Samuel 29:4. "The princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him," talking to Achish, the king, "make this fellow return, make David return, that he may go to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s'?" And Achish called David and said unto him, "Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." So we see how God is helping David. He gives David direction here. He gives David direction. And the way that he does that is the other princes of the Philistines are complaining about the fact that David is going to go to war with them against the Hebrews, against the Israelites. And understandably so, you would think. They are very concerned that David, in the midst of battle, is going to start fighting for the Israelites. And so they're coming to Achish, the king of the Philistines, and saying, "No, we can't have David in this army. We got to send him away." And so Achish comes to David and says, "I like you, but you got to leave because the lords of the Philistines don't like you." And so in that way, God, in his providence, delivers David out of that. He guides him. He directs him. You know, sometimes God directs us in ways like this, perhaps, circumstances. Here we see that God clearly shut the door for David on staying where he was staying, on trying to be on the side of the Philistines. You know, God could have done that a lot of different ways to deliver David, but the king comes and says, David, you got to leave. All right. And so God directed him away from there. And that may happen in our lives too. You know, we may have a clear direction like that where the door is shut. You know, it's just a clear no, this isn't going to work. And we may feel bad about that, but that's a way that God does give us guidance sometimes. You know, we have nowhere else to go, and so we've got to go another direction. We're forced to go that way. We see God rescuing David from his own mistakes. God seems to redirect him in his mercy. God did not want David serving the Philistines. And God could have killed him even or done something else. But he very mercifully redirects David. No, I don't want you there with the Philistines. I want you with the Israelites. And God can do that for us as well. Maybe we've made a decision like David, a foolish decision where we've said out of fear, we made some decision that we shouldn't have made. And we see here that God is able to redirect us. He's not obligated to do that, of course. But here we see that God does give direction. Now, another way that God helps David here, we see God gives encouragement. As we continue on here, we see what happens when David goes back to the city where all of his family and all of his men's families were. We see what happened to Ziklag here. Look at chapter 30, read verses 1 through 8. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein, and slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So we see how God gives David encouragement here. He goes back to Ziklag. He discovers that the Amalekites had come and had attacked his city where all of his people were staying. They had carried away captives, the women and children. And we see the response to this attack. David's men were grieved. They threatened to stone him. They were upset that their families had been taken away. David was the one to blame for this. But notice David's response again. In verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then he sought for God's will through Abiathar and the ephod. So God gives encouragement. God gives encouragement. We can find encouragement even after we have made bad choices. We see that in the life of David here. You know, he did make a bad choice in going to live with the Philistines. We see some of the consequences of that choice. And he faced pressures like this in the past. He had acted poorly in the past without faith. But now we see he responds in faith. He seems to find that encouragement, even though he has made a bad choice in the past. And you know, we need to see that you know, we can find encouragement in the Lord, even though maybe we haven't in the past. We can get that. We can find encouragement in the midst of difficult situations. David was in a difficult situation here. His family had all been carried away captive. He doesn't know where they are. The city where he's been staying has been burned. That's a fairly difficult situation. But we see how David was able to find encouragement even in that difficult situation. And we may face maybe not the exact same things, but we may face attacks from others, maybe sick times of sickness and weakness, times of loss. And what we see here is that even in difficult times, we can find encouragement in those times. And we can find encouragement in the Lord. We see how David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We can find encouragement in the Lord. We don't find it in other people necessarily. Maybe those other people can point us to the Lord, but you know, the resources that we have or don't have. We might be tempted to think that a different situation will fix the problem or different people, but we need to see what David does here. He finds his encouragement in the Lord and in who God is. And we've got to be able to do that as well. In a difficult situation, to find encouragement in the Lord, to recognize that God is the God who works all things together for good, to see that He is a refuge in trouble, to understand that His strength is made perfect in weakness. We can appreciate those things, even in times that are dark and difficult. God is with us always. So we can find the encouragement in the Lord, not just in other people or things. You know, we can find encouragement from God's timing here as well. We see here how close that David was to being victorious over Saul, to coming to the throne. He's not very far away at all. And yet just on the cusp of that happening, this attack happens and his family's all taken away, everything. And just before that, this happens. Now, we don't know the events, the future events of our lives, but we do see this in David's life. And we just see that we shouldn't give up too quickly. We shouldn't give up too quickly. You know, what if David had thought, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years now. I've been on the run and I just nothing is happening here and I'm just going to call it quits. He could have done that, but he wouldn't have accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish. I mean, he was very close here to getting to the throne, to getting past this mountain in his life. And so we need to remember that God's in control. His timing is perfect, and we shouldn't give up. Must not give up. So God gives encouragement. God gives direction. And then as we proceed on here, we see how God gives wisdom to David. I'm going to read here in chapter 30 and verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongst thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days had gone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, This is David's spoil. So God gives wisdom. We see how God gives wisdom to David to be able to rescue his people from the Amalekites. And we see how he did that. He went on the chase here. I didn't read verses 9 and 10, but he ends up leaving 200 of his men at the brook Bosar because they're so weak and faint they can't continue on. So he has to leave 200 men. And then he finds the stranded Egyptian servant. He just so happens to come upon this guy who is about to die, it seems, and he's able to give him some food and figure out who he is and where he comes from. And it's that Egyptian servant who's able to tell David where the Amalekites are, and he's able to lead him to the Amalekites, and that's how he's able to track down his people and belongings. But God directed David. God gave David wisdom. God gave David information. And we can trust God to be able to help us in that way as well. He just so happened to give David, this Egyptian servant, just so happened to come upon him. And it was that man who led David to his next step. Was that a coincidence? Did David just so happen to come upon this servant? No. God allowed that to happen. God gave David that wisdom, that guidance there again. He placed that man there just the right time, and he helped David each step of the way. You know, God's able to do that same thing for us. I don't know if it'll be from a man that we have to give food to, you know, but it could be some other way. We're trying to find what we should do, the right decision to make, and God leads us. He gives us wisdom to be able to make that next step. We see David making decisions. He is going on the attack. He is trying to get his people back. He had come to God and asked about this. But then God helps him with further information, with wisdom, to be able to use that information in the best way. And then we see the conclusion of this story here, the remaining verses, and we see how God gives provision. God gives provision. We're told here what happens with the spoil after they completed this successful attack. In verse 21, look at verse 21, 1 Samuel 30. David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man, his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us, and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And then in verses 26 to 31, we see how David sends presents to various other cities in Israel that he had been, that he had, that had helped him and that he had come to know. We see how God gives David provision here. And he allows David to take the spoil from this victory. We see how he shares it with the 200 men that were left at Bosar. The wicked men did not want to share with them, but David insists, no, this is what we're going to do. Everybody has an equal part, an equal share in the spoils, no matter if they were guarding the stuff or if they were actively fighting in the battle. But God provided here for David. We need to trust God to provide for us. God graciously restored all that had been taken. Now, I wonder why God allowed the Amalekites to come and to take everything away. And why did God allow David to have to go and to take it back? You know, maybe that whole experience was something that helped David to help his men recognize that this was God's provision. This all came from God, and God can easily let it be taken by somebody else, and God gives it back. But we need to trust God to provide for us. And we see the response to that as well is to be generous to others. We see David insisting on being generous with every man in the army, no matter what their job was. We don't want to be like these people the Bible calls wicked. The wicked men, the men of Belial. And these were the men who didn't like the idea of sharing the spoils with their brethren. So we need to make sure that we don't have an attitude like that. We need to be generous with what God has provided. And of course, we need to see the importance of all the believers, all the people of God, no matter what their role is. Some may have a more role that people can see that seems to be more important, but we see how David is recognizing the importance of everybody's job, and not just the ones who were fighting in the battle, but also the ones who were staying back and guarding this stuff, whatever that stuff was. They had some stuff they were standing by. So David was generous. He was kind to all. So God was guiding. God was directing David each step of the way. He, in his mercy, even after David had made mistakes, he had made poor choices, see how God helped him. God gave him direction. God gave him encouragement. And David had to do his part there and encourage himself in the Lord. God gave David wisdom to be able to take the next step. God gave him provision and reminded him that he is the source of that provision. And so we need to do the same and trust God each step of the way and find our direction, our encouragement, our wisdom, our provision in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of David, and we thank you that he was able to find his hope and his faith, his encouragement in you. And we pray that you would help us to see how we can do that, whatever our situation is, however difficult it is. Help us to be able to encourage ourselves in you, to see that you are good, that you are our refuge in trouble, that you are our God and our Savior. And so we pray that even tonight, even now, we would have our hearts encouraged in you, and help us to look to you and to trust in you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a song in closing here. Turn over to number 359. 359, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Number 359, let's stand as we sing. 359. Thank you for coming tonight. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.